Time, please, a word of prayer. Commit our time to the Lord. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee this morning and then through our Savior's precious name. Lord, do our hearts great, we pray. Come and meet with us. We ask, O God, that this will be a time when we'll hear the voice of the Lord. Meet with us, O God, we pray. Give us help as we praise Thee. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Psalm number 40 is our opening hymn of praise this morning, Psalm 40. You'll find it in the page number 37. Of your hymn books, the words will also be on the screen. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear at length to me. He did incline my voice and cry to hear. This is a hymn and a psalm of testimony, and so let's sing it unto the Lord. Psalm number 40, we're going to sing down to the end of verse 5, the double verse 5, Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5. We'll stand together as we worship, please. Let's stand to sing. Well, let's take the Lord again, please, in prayer, and let's ask for His help and His presence with us as we come into His house and His presence this morning. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for this psalm of testimony. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in this meeting today. We can say, Lord, we're saved. Lord, that You've lifted us out of the dirt and the mire of sin. Lord, You've planted our feet upon that rock. That rock which is Christ Jesus. You've established our goings. You've put that new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And we pray, Lord, that even today as we would praise Thee, may many see our praise. May many praise Thee. And, O God, may many turn to Thee. Our Father, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that's ours to be in the house of the Lord on this, the first day of another new week. We thank Thee, Lord, this morning that we come to serve a Savior who is alive, that one who lives in that power of an endless life. We thank Thee, Lord, today for the one who is our great High Priest, the one who is exalted far above all. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today through the name of Christ, through the merits of Christ. Lord, we have acceptance. We have this audience with Thee. And our Father, we pray that You'll do our hearts good. Come and meet with us today, we pray. Come, O God, we pray. Lord, tune our hearts to sing Thy praise. Lord, remove every distracting thought. Lord, for those things, Lord, that would take us away from Thee, and Lord, take us away from the Word of God and our thoughts after God. We pray, Lord, You would bring every thought into captivity for this time. And Lord, we pray that we might know what it is to be shut in with God. Oh, Lord, we pray that You'll help us, Lord, to hear Thy voice. Help us, Lord, to see Thee. Our Father, we pray that today each one of us may have that encounter with the risen Lord. So be with us. Continue with us, O God, we pray. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless every head bowed in Thy presence. Lord, we thank Thee this morning that we are here, the living, to praise Thee. Thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercy and for Thy goodness. Watch over us today, we pray. And Lord, we pray that as we gather here publicly to worship Thee and to proclaim Thy great name, we ask, O God, that You'll do our hearts good. We pray, Lord, You'll remember those who cannot gather with us. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies, O God, we pray. And O God, we pray today for those who are far from Thee, cold and indifferent to the things of God. We pray, Lord, that You'll run after them. Lord, challenge them, speak to them. And, O God, we pray that they might be brought into that right relationship once again with Thee. Lord, we pray for this community. We pray, O God, for this area. O Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll create soul thirst for Thee. We ask, O God, that You'll send a move of God the Holy Spirit. Breathe upon Ballyhackamore. Lord, indeed, upon all of East Belfast. Move across our city, across our province, yea, across our nation. And Lord, raise that standard once again for truth and for righteousness. Lord, defeat the plans of sin and Satan. Lord, the evil one seems to be having a field day. Lord, there is apathy and indifference, Lord, in every sight, hostility to the gospel and to the standards of Thy word. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today that our God is on His throne. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we can say with Daniel of old, our God is in heaven. And so, our Father, we pray that You be pleased, Lord, to lift our eyes from the things of this old world and help us to see Thee high and lifted up. Our Father, we pray that You'll just bless us for good, we pray. Take up our thanks, Lord, for Thy presence with us in the nights gone by there in Redburn. We thank Thee, Lord, for the little ones who are gathered in. We thank Thee, Lord, for those who are into the gospel mission as well. And, O God, we pray that Thy word will live on in hearts. Speak, O God, we pray in that area and create, Lord, that concern and that interest after the things of God. We pray, Lord, You'll bless even the meetings, Lord, in Clarewood this week. We ask, O God, that You be pleased, Lord, to bring in the children from that area, from Branyell and from around this area. And, O God, we pray that, Lord, we'll see little ones saved and changed, their lives transformed by the grace of God. So we look to Thee. We ask, O God, for Your blessing upon us for good. Remember, Lord, those who are serving Thee in the foreign mission field. Continue to be with them. Bless them, we pray. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those today who, Lord, do not have the privileges to meet together publicly as we do. O God, we pray that You'll just encourage them and strengthen them in their faith and overrule, O God, in the ungodly rulers of this world. And so, our Father, we look to Thee. Just, Lord, help us today, we pray. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, we ask. And Lord, we pray that we'll leave this place this morning knowing that we have met afresh with the Lord. Come and meet with us today, we pray. And Lord, we ask, O God, that everything that is said and done may be to the honor and to the glory of our great Savior's name. Hear and answer prayer. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God this morning to the book of 2 Kings again, 2 Kings in the chapter 4, please. 2 Kings chapter 4, as we continue on in our studies in the life of Elisha. And we'll read from the verse 38, pick up our reading where we left off a few weeks back, 2 Kings chapter 4, and the verse 38. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And Elisha came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. He cast it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn, and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And the servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This morning we welcome you in the Savior's name. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And sincerely and genuinely in the Savior's great name, we welcome you all who's joined with us today. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. Can I remind you, please, of the meetings that are before us, God willing, in the week that lies before us. We meet again tonight. We have our gospel service at 6:30. We'd love to see you back again on a Sunday night. Make it your habit to come back on the Sunday evening, and we'd love to see you back with us this evening for our gospel service at 6:30. We'll have the season of prayer beforehand at 6:00, meeting here in the wee prayer room again, so please remember that. If you can come and join with us for that little time, certainly would appreciate your prayers. Tonight, our brother John Porter will be here to sing, and also tonight we'll be having a report on the summer camp that was held during the month of July, and Kyle and Anna will be speaking about the summer camp. And so you come and support them and encourage them and hear of how the Lord was with the campers this past summer. And then after the meeting tonight, that will be the first of our special seasons of prayer that we're having this week as we commence into a new season in the work of God. We want to bring this before the Lord. And so if you can wait behind for a season of prayer after the gospel meeting tonight as we gather around the throne of grace for a little time. Then this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have another Bible club for the children. This time it's in the Oak Centre down in Clarewood there, and it's at 6:30 every night. And so for children's workers, if you can help us to be there and help in the meetings, we're not asking you to do anything because our brother Phil Harton is coming to take those meetings. We're looking forward to having him. But if you can be there and help in any way, then that would be appreciated. If you can't come, then please pray. Pray that the Lord would bless the meetings this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as we seek to reach out into Clarewood for these three nights. And then here in the church also on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll have special seasons of prayer each night at 8:00. And the time will be given over mostly to prayer. And there'll also be some reports about the children's work and youth work as well throughout this week as well. So I trust you'll be able to join with us. If not for the kids' club during the earlier evening, for the special seasons of prayer each night, 8:00, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday here in the church. Then on Friday night, our youth fellowship recommences, and the young people are going over to the youth rally in Hillsborough, and we'll be able to advise you of the times of the bus and whatever during the week. But remember that, young people going to the youth rally
over in Hillsborough this Friday night. Next Sunday morning sees the recommencement of Sunday school, a Bible class here at 10:15. Please remember that. And if you know of any children that don't go to a Sunday school, primary school age, then why not seek to get them along in your family or maybe in your neighborhood? Bring them along next Sunday morning for the recommencement of Sunday school and also for the young people in the Bible class. Morning worship at 11:30, then 2:30 next Sunday evening, next Sunday afternoon sees the commencement of the Sunday school over in the Redburn Community Center. So please remember these meetings in prayer. And then next Sunday night, we have our special valedictory service for our brother Adam. Adam, who will shortly be commencing Bible College. And we want you to make a very special effort to join with us for this special service. It is a very historic night for us as a congregation, especially for Adam and for his family. And so we want you to be here to encourage him and bless him as he goes to take up this new chapter in his life. Adam will testify and tell of how the Lord called him this way. And so we want to encourage him by being here. Also, our sister Charlotte Coghey will be here to sing. Next Sunday evening, there'll be a special offering taken up during the service next Sunday night. And that will go as a love gift to Adam to help him with his expenses at college. And so if you would like to help in this practical way, then that special offering will be taken up during the meeting next Sunday night. And so please do remember that as well. But we trust you'll come. There'll be supper afterwards as well for everybody. And we trust you'll come and you'll bring others with you for that special service at 6:30. Just some other matters to bring to your attention. At our presbytery meeting on Friday night past, Reverend Samuel Murray was elected as the new deputy moderator of our presbytery, and also the Reverend Colin Mercer was elected as the new chairman of the mission board. And so do remember these brethren in your prayers, please. Take this opportunity again to thank those who attended the missions during the week over in Redburn. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your prayers. And let's pray on that the Lord will bless the word that went forth in the kids club and also in the gospel mission as well at night. Very quickly coming up to our church dinner, Friday the 23rd of September over in the Martyrs. And if you haven't got your menus or your money back to John, if you could do that please by the 16th. There are still envelopes out there. If you haven't got one, take one with you. Get your menu choices in and money back to John as soon as possible, please. And it's open to everybody. Just bring others with you as long as we know who's coming and what they want to eat. The Explorers Club will recommence on Tuesday week. That's Tuesday, God willing, the 13th of September. Next Monday night in our Ballymena Church, there is the graduation and commencement service for the Whitfield College of the Bible, and there'll be two students graduating next Monday night, and do remember them in prayer that the Lord will open up doors of opportunity for them. Also, on your way out today, you'll receive the latest edition of the Sandown Herald and also the Vision magazine, and they're all available to you as you leave. But also, some copies, not a lot, but some copies from the Sovereign Grace Association of the work in Ukraine, and some copies updating you with that work, the Slavic Gospel Association, I should have said. So they'll all be given to you as you leave the meeting today. Do remember the offering boxes available as you leave as well. These are all the announcements and always made subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing again, this time, the hymn number 502, pages 378, called Unto Holiness, Church of Our God.
Turning back, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to speak this morning on the subject that I've entitled Purifying the Poisonous Pot. But before we come to God's Word, let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. And let's ask for His help and for His presence with us today. Let's pray the Lord will speak to us as we come around His Word. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy, for Thy goodness. Lord, we thank Thee today for Thy Word. And, O God, we pray that You'll help us to hear the Word of God. Help us, O God, today to apply that Word to our hearts. Lord, we need Thee. Lord, afresh, we ask, O God, for that cleansing and that purifying. Lord, that You will make us, Lord, those clean vessels. O God, we pray that this morning, as we gather ourselves around Thy precious Word, Lord, that You'll speak to us. Lord, that this day we'll hear Thy voice. You'll challenge us. Lord, You'll change us. And Lord, that as a result of our gathering today in the house of God, our lives will be different. And Lord, that we'll go out to serve Thee in the week that lies before us. So be with us, we pray. And help us, Lord, now to understand, to take in what God the Lord would say to us. Speak to us, we pray. Give us help to preach and give us help to hear. Lord, hide us behind the cross. And Lord, may none be seen save Jesus only, and no voice be heard but the voice of the Master. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We are all fully aware of the assaults and the attacks of Satan against the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in what is often termed and described as this most postmodern age and world. The woke agenda, as it is referred to, of new liberalism, nothing more than fascism really, has taken over. And the whole agenda is taken up with assault and attack against the Word of God. And this agenda is the dominant agenda today. The agenda of rights, freedom of expression, the agenda of abortion, transgenderism, sodomy, redefinition of marriage and gender, and so it goes on. It's the dominant agenda prevalent in our nation at this time. And any voice that is raised against this agenda, especially from the church, will be attacked, will be assailed, and everything will be done to seek to silence the voice of the church against the trend to remove the standards, the morality, and the landmarks of the Bible. You see, Satan has always and will always use whatever method and whatever means he can to attack the church from outside. However, he doesn't stop with the outward attacks. Rather, he more subtly and deceitfully seeks to attack the church from the inside as well. I suppose there are many ways from that this attack from which within the church could be summarized, but probably the best way that Satan seeks to attack the church from within the church is what is termed today as relativism. That there are those within the church today who will teach us that truth is only relative and important in certain circumstances and in certain situations. In other words, that truth, standards, etc., change as culture and society changes. What was acceptable within the church before, or unacceptable in the church before, can now be accepted because society has changed, culture has changed, and there is the call for the church to change with it.
You see, what is happening today, not just today, but right throughout the history of the Church of Christ, is that the standard of God's Word is mixed with the standard of the world, and as a result, there's a downgrade and there's a diluting of the Word of God. Truth mixed with error, and that never works. And in many ways, in a spiritual sense, that is what's happening here in this next account in the life of Elisha. The setting for these verses that we read in 2 Kings 4, verse 38 onwards, is a Bible college. The school of the prophets. A place where young men would have come to train for the work of God. But in this Bible college, the school of the prophets here in Gilgal, as we find it in verse 38, there's a famine, there's a dearth in the land. And the students resort to unknown and untried methods to try to remedy the situation. But rather, making the situation better, they make it worse. And it all revolves around a pot of food. And as a result of the actions that are described for us in verse 39 that we'll consider especially, rather this pot of food becoming a pot of life and nourishment and health, it becomes a pot of death. We read in verse 40 that there is death in the pot. And the task for Elisha is to cleanse this pot, to purify this poisonous pot. It had to be dealt with because it was having an awful effect. And so we want to consider the next account in the life of Elisha as we see him here purifying the poisonous pot. I want us to see, first of all, in these verses, there's the famine experienced. The famine experienced. Elisha, as we have already seen, often visited with the schools of the prophets. But when he visited this time, there's a famine. There's a dearth in the land. The land is in the grip of famine. There'd be no rain. There'd be no growth, no crops could grow because of the extreme heat. And in verse 38, we read there was a dearth in the land. Imagine, think of it. A long, hot summer. The ground is parched and scorched and there are no crops growing. I thought things like that only happened in the past few years. Well, clearly the climate change idiots do not know their Bible. But as we think of this famine, notice first of all the devastation. The devastation. This time of famine has brought devastation into the land. Most commentators will agree that this is the same famine that is mentioned on over in 2 Kings chapter 8. And in 2 Kings chapter 8, we read about this famine at the end of verse 1, being upon the land for 7 years. 7 years. We have a famine for one day and a hot weather for one day and we're in crisis. But for 7 years, there's a famine in the land. There is devastation. And when we come back to 2 Kings chapter 4 and the verse 38, and we see it described in verse 38 there as a dearth, literally renders it a famine. Or we could also read, the people were famished. I'm sure you've heard that expression. There was hunger, there was starvation. And we see the devastation, we see the hopelessness in verse 38. In the middle of the verse it says, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, sitting before Elisha. Do you know, you can almost sense the desperation in that statement. They were sitting, not knowing what to do. Such was the devastating effect of this famine. And all they had left was one pot of food. And they just sit. You know, folks, how often in life when we come to such a low point, all we can do is just sit. We don't know what to do, where to turn. Devastated, overcome by the trials of life, we just sit. But notice who they sit before in verse 38. They sit before him. Him being Elisha. Remember, Elisha is God's man. God's representative at this time of devastation. And so they sat before Elisha. And in sitting before Elisha, they were sitting before God. Maybe right now in your life, you're in a dark place, a difficult place. There are hardships and your burdens. You don't know what to do. Bring it to the Lord. Sit before the Lord. Look to him. And the sons of the prophets here were sitting before Elisha. The devastation. But notice as well the interpretation of this famine. The interpretation of this famine. You see, this famine was not a mere natural event. The Lord allowed this famine to happen for a reason. Of course, he allows everything to happen for a reason. There's a plan and there's a purpose to everything that God does. And why? Why is this famine now found in Scripture? Well, if you turn back to 1 Kings chapter 8 and the verse 35, we'll find in this prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple, this time of famine being prophesied and being spoken about. 1 Kings chapter 8 and the verse 35. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. So here in this prayer of Solomon, under the inspiration, of course, of God, he is saying and speaking about a time, a future time, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain. Why? Because they have sinned against the Lord. And so when we fast forward to 2 Kings chapter 4, and from verse 38, what is happening has already been prophesied, has already been spoken about in the previous chapters. But why is it happening? Because the people have turned from God. You see, God allows natural disasters to happen across this world, famines, earthquakes, floods, to speak about his control over nature, yes, but also to demonstrate his judgment upon sin. And you see, through these natural disasters, he is warning the world of a greater, and in fact, the greatest judgment that is to come. The judgment that will fall upon all those who fail to heed the warning, who fail to heed the instruction from the Word of God. This famine in 2 Kings chapter 8 and the verse, chapter 4, verse 38, is a depiction of the judgment of God that will come at the end of this world. Why will that judgment come? It will come because of sin, of man's rebellion, of man's refusal to heed God. Here were the people who thought they could set aside God at their will and that God wouldn't take any notice. Remember always, folks, Remember always whenever you hear something happening, you read the papers, you watch the TV, and you hear someone rising up against the Word of God and going against the standards that you know God's Word espouses, remember, one day that person, along with all other people who refuse Christ, will be judged for their sin. And oh, that the world might see that. Oh, that our province would see that. Oh, that our city would see that. That one day the people of this city, the people of this country, will be judged for their sin if they do not turn from their sin. And the wickedness and the vileness does not go unnoticed by God. One day God will fold as a sheet is folded this world contaminated by sin. This world will be destroyed. It will melt with a fervent heat, and God will create the new heavens and the new earth. God's judgment will fall upon all those who have rejected the Lord throughout their lives. This judgment, this famine, in 2 Kings chapter 4 that we read about here, this dearth in the land, was not just a mere natural event. It was God speaking. Was God speaking? And you know, folks, there is a greater famine than a famine of food. It's a famine of the Word. A famine that affects the soul is a far greater famine that affects the stomach. The prophet Amos in Amos 8 and verse 11 says, "Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." What a tragedy. What an awful tragedy. That God will allow a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord because of people's rebellion and rejection. Is there not such a famine today? And I'm not talking about the world outside. I'm talking today about the church. Is there not a famine in those who profess Christ today of the hearing of the word of the Lord? Places that were previously set aside for preaching are now social centers. Church youth groups who meet for games and never a Bible open. Church programs that have been replaced the prayer meetings with the bowls club and any other club you care to mention. The light touch gospel that doesn't offend or doesn't want to cause any embarrassment. Smile, Jesus loves you. Do we not have a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord in our land today and in our churches? And you call for gospel missions. People don't want to hear the gospel. Is there not a famine, spiritual famine, in our land today? There's this famine experienced. But I want us to notice secondly here, there's the folly exhibited. The folly exhibited. Because as this famine gets worse, as the devastation and the starvation increased, these students grew more anxious and desperate for food. Notice in verse 38. Come to verse 38. The second half of the verse, "And he," that's Elisha, "said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." Elisha instructed them in verse 38, seethe pottage, boil the stew, in other words. In other words, use what you have. Use what you have. This was God's man. Remember, Elisha is always God's representative, God's spokesman. And he is saying, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Just do what you've been doing. Use what you have. But there were those who thought they knew better. And there were those who went out to find, as they thought, a better way, a more appetizing, a more appealing way. But as we'll see, it was foolish, it was deadly. Because we come into verse 39, and one, that is one of the sons of the prophets, went out into the field to gather herbs. Elisha has just said, you've got the pot there, you've got the pottage, that's what you've always used, just do that. But no. The tried and tested method wasn't enough for some. And so one went out into the field thinking he could get something more appetizing and something more appealing. I want you to see the place of this folly. In verse 39 we read, and one went out into the field. One went out into the field. He went out to the field to find something better than what they already had. His contribution to this pot of food was coming from the field. Now that's important. Because the field in Scripture always speaks of and always signifies the world. Turn to Matthew 13. Let me show you what I mean. Matthew 13, verse 38, in this parable of the tares, we have the Lord interpreting what the field is, and not only here, but in other places as well. Matthew 13 and verse 38, the field is the world. Field is the world. So come back to 2 Kings chapter 4 and the verse 39. Where did they go to find satisfaction? They went to the world. That was the place of this folly. You bring that into the spiritual famine of which we were thinking about a few moments ago, that famine of the hearing of the Word of God, how tempting it is to go to the world to make our message more appealing and more appetizing. The world today seems to be the sole rule of faith and practice for Christians and for the church now. It's more important what man says than what God says. And the world and its philosophy. And how many churches today determine their church programs, their church events, their church teaching, their church doctrine about what is acceptable to the world? And we go to the world to try to remedy the famine in the church. God save us as a church and as a denomination from going to the world to determine our doctrine and our duty. And folks, let's never be arrogant to think it'll never happen in the Free Presbyterian Church.
place of this folly. But come into verse 39 again and see also the peril of this folly. Because when they went out into the field to gather herbs, what did they find? They found a wild vine. Clearly something which wasn't good or pure, but it was all he could find, so he brought it back. But it was perilous, it was dangerous. And there was a clear lack of discernment and wisdom concerning how to handle this crisis. The wild vine, it looked all right. And how often does the wild vine of the world, the errors of the world, look okay? Seems acceptable, seems plausible, and yet so dangerous, as we'll see in a moment, to the work and the witness of the work. Found a wild vine. Think about the vine for a moment. You know about another vine. You know about Christ, who describes himself as the true vine. And folks, if Christ is the true vine, then the wild vine must be everything apart from Christ. What I'm trying to bring out here is that these people thought they could set aside Christ, set aside the Word of God, set aside the teaching of the Word of God in order to handle this crisis. And in the spiritual famine that we are experiencing in our land and in our nation, there is the awful tendency to set aside the true vine, which is Christ. Set aside the preaching of Christ. Set aside the cross of Christ. Set aside the work of Christ. Whenever you hear of remedies and ways to seek to fill a church and to get people into a church, is Christ not set aside? The wild vines of entertainment, of coffee clubs, they're seen as the answer today. But may we never forget that Christ is still the answer. The preaching and the teaching of Christ is still the remedy to this world. May we never forget it. As we see in verse 39, these wild vines, they were plentiful, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful. His lapful. Just because the wild vine was available doesn't mean it was acceptable. And folks, there is a great temptation and there is a great tendency to bring in new methods and novel methods into the work and the witness of God. But just because other methods are available doesn't mean they are acceptable. May we never be tempted to take the wild vines of this world to fill the church. These wild vines that were taken. Verse 39, at the end of it, we see they were put into the pot of pottage. Then there is this sad acknowledgement at the end of verse 39, for they knew them not. They knew them not. A number of ways we could interpret that. But I think one of the saddest ways to look at that is that they just didn't even know what they were doing. Seemed to work. See, what was happening was a mixture of the old ways with the new ways. A mixture of God's way, and God's way was to boil or seethe the pottage, use what you have, and a mixture of the world's ways, the wild vine. But notice now the poison of this folly. Verse 40, they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. This food that was supposed to nourish them, to help them, was killing them. It was poisonous. The mixture together of what they had and what they went to get proved fatal, and they could not eat thereof. You see, there was the mixing of the holy with the unholy, the flesh with the spirit, the false with the true, the evil with the good, and folks, that will always prove fatal to the church of Christ. You might accuse me, I'm sure you wouldn't, but others might accuse me of being an old dinosaur and not wanting to move with the age. If we're going to see the work go forward, it will only go forward on how the Lord blessed the work in the past. And new and novel ways must be resisted. The mixing of the holy with the unholy will not help the work. It'll hinder the work. And folks, it'll kill off the work. There was death in the pot because of the folly of those who thought they knew better, of those who thought there was a better way, a more appealing way, a better way than God's way. Let me just digress for a second. What is God's way to build up the work of God? What is God's plan and program today for the Church of Christ? It has been what it has always been throughout the ages. It's to preach the word. Preach the word. There's the famine experience. There's the folly exhibited. But finally, as we close, I want us to see now, thirdly, there's the fix explained. Because in verse 41, we see how this folly was put right. How this error was fixed, how the poisonous, polluted pot was purified. As we think about this fix, first of all, there was discernment. Verse 40, we read, they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. Eventually, they realized, this is not right. This is not going to work. There was discernment. It came a little too late, but at least it came. And oh, that today the Church of Jesus Christ would have discernment and wisdom concerning our activities and our outreach. And how foolish just to continue on and seem so blind and ignorant and arrogant of the error of our ways. These people realize there's something wrong here. This is not right. And there's death in the pot, and we need to discern the problem before that problem can be fixed. There was discernment in this fix, but also there was direction in this fix, because verse 41, he, that is Elisha, said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. Bring meal and cast it into the pot. The meal, you see, was to counteract and to cancel out the poison and the pollution that was in the pot. What's the meal represent?
One of the offerings in the Old Testament was the meal offering, and as you know, it spoke of Christ. The meal or the grain that was used to make the bread, and Christ, who is the bread of life, Christ, who is the center of the Word of God, that Word which is manna to our souls, what was the answer? It was Christ. The fix, the remedy was Christ. Christ was the cleanser, the purifier. Christ is the answer. Psalm 119 asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How? By taking heed thereto to thy word. What's the word all about? It's Christ. Later on in the psalm, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. This problem was purified by bringing Christ and only Christ into the situation. Our lives are sanctified and purified through Him. Many remedies and fixes are offered today, but they're only man-made. Error mixed with truth, and that's a fatal combination. How do we purify the contaminated pot of Christianity today? How do we seek to overcome the spiritual famine that there is today? By Christ and only Christ. By taking heed to His word. By bringing Christ back into our lives and into our churches. By not just simply saying we are Christ-centered, but actually being Christ-centered. We need to get back to the Christ of God, and we need to get back to the Word of God, and we need to let that be our sole rule of faith and practice. Bring the meal, cast it into the pot, then what were they to do? Verse 41, pour out for the people that they may eat. In other words, give the people what they need, not what they want. Give the people Christ. Feed them on Christ. How was this situation going to be made better? It was by Christ. Richard Baxter, the Puritan, said that if we can teach Christ to our people, we teach them all. Mr. Spurgeon said, when we preach Jesus Christ, we are not putting out the plates and the knives and the forks for the feast. We're handing out the bread itself. May we never be ashamed of Christ. May we never be ashamed of uplifting Christ, preaching Christ, and may we never add anything or anyone to Christ. We see then the delight. The end of verse 41. And there was no harm in the pot. The poison had been removed. The contamination had been purified. The pot which would have poisoned them now nourished and fed them. You see, folks, whenever we set forth Christ as the answer to every solution and every situation and every problem and every trial and every discussion and every debate set forth Christ, there's no harm in the pot, there's only good. Because Christ is the answer and Christ is the antidote. This problem came about because they failed to heed the Word of God. This problem came about because they thought they knew better than the man of God. But this problem was remedied by taking heed to the Word of God. Man's proposals to our problems may seem attractive, They may seem appealing, but if they're contrary to the Word of God, then they're fatal. There was no harm in the pot, and Christ was brought into the situation. May our desire, our determination be as it was for Paul when he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And folks, today, yes, as far as the blessing is concerned, the spiritual tide is out. But we don't lower our standards. We don't mix error with truth. We don't resort to novel or new ways. We continue on in the way that God has blessed in the past, and that is by Christ, Christ alone, purifying the poisonous pot. Bring Christ back into our lives, back into our churches. Is Christ in your life? Your life contaminated and poisoned by sin. You need Christ today. You need to be saved. He's the cleanser. He's the purifier. The purifier for the saved and the unsaved. And when we have Christ set before us in all of our ways, then there's no harm in the pot. Let's bow in prayer.